Thank you so much for watching. This is Corey from CoreyBakerFilmmaker.com, and I just saw The Five Bloods, written by Danny Bilson and Paul DeMeo, and Kevin Willmott and Spike Lee, and directed by Spike Lee. So first thing, before we get into like any of the particulars about the movie, I think one of the most interesting parts about the story of The Five Bloods and how we got here is that this story was originally written by the same writers who did The Rocketeer and The Flash. And originally, the story was about mostly white members of a troop going back. And the same basic story applies, but Oliver Stone was originally set to direct it, but ended up passing on it. And then Spike Lee picked it up, and then him and Kevin Willmott did the thing that they've been doing here for the last couple movies and putting their funk on it. And I think it's important, after finishing the movie and looking back on the experience that I had, of how much different this could have all been if it was sort of a traditional whitewashed Hollywood movie where we have Brad Pitt or Leo in the lead roles. And not that the acting wouldn't have been spectacular and that the performances could have been good and everything like that, but to be able to put it in the frame of a black battalion is really adding a whole lot more to the story and a whole lot more about the complications of war and the complications of this country and our history of racism and underlying things that we clearly are talking about more now than we ever have before. And I mean, specifically, Spike has been making these movies talking about these issues for his entire career. And the truth is, honestly, I feel like a lot of people prior to this moment in time, white people specifically, never really examined or had to take stock of the things that have benefited them and persecuted other people at the same time. And Spike Lee has been talking about these things for a long time. And when Spike Lee first came out 30-some years ago and was first making movies, people were talking about how dangerous Spike felt. And how, like, he was talking about things that were beyond what was acceptable at the time. But, you know, he lives on greater as the years go on than almost any other provocative film director that I can think of. And, I mean, the sense that his provocativeness came from the idea that he was just clearly talking about issues that needed to be brought to the forefront and nobody wanted to listen. And I just like to say that I'm thankful for Spike and I'm thankful for all the movies that he's made, but I'm not going to say that I'm, you know, the type of person who's seen every single Spike Lee movie. But when the history books are written and we're talking about great directors, there's no way that Spike Lee isn't up at the top of any list that you put together. And to that end, I really think that The Five Bloods is one of my favorite Spike Lee movies. It's certainly moved up the top of the list. Also, just for people who are watching, who are worried about spoilers and that sort of thing, I'm going to go through sort of the review and my thoughts up front here, and then I'll do the leaderboard, and then after that I'll give a little bit of spoiler at the end, because I don't feel like this movie can appropriately be discussed without talking about spoilers, so I want to give people who've seen the movie the opportunity to hear my thoughts on that afterwards, but I don't want to ruin it for anybody who hasn't had the chance to see it yet. So the basic premise, Paul, Otis, Eddie, and Melvin are parts of this battalion who have set it up with the U.S. government to go back to Vietnam, where they all served together, and find the remains of their squad leader who had died in action. The part that they're not telling anybody is also that they had buried some gold around the same area of the remains, and they were going to go take this opportunity to get that gold and enrich themselves and send back the remains to Arlington of their fallen squad leader. Our four leads for this are Delroy Lindo, who plays Paul, Clark Peters, who plays Otis, Isaiah Whitlock Jr., who plays Melvin, and Norm Lewis, who plays Eddie. And in the beginning of the movie, Paul's son, David, played by Jonathan Majors, comes in and basically says he's going to be a part of this whole thing. And so the split becomes one more with Jonathan Majors coming in and going along for the adventure. But this movie, much like a lot of Spike Lee movies, are heavily influenced by other movies. And there's a lot of Treasure of the Sierra Madre and Apocalypse Now, like very clearly like flashing in front of your faces throughout the course of this movie. But also, like a Spike Lee movie, it's not just one thing. You feel like you're watching one movie and then it zigs and zags, and it's sort of like four different types of movies all put together. And I said this when I did the review on 1917. I'm really not a war person. Like, just for whatever reason, those stories just never really connect with me. Anything about soldiers, and it's just a disconnect I have. I just don't, it doesn't interest me that much. But this movie is not like other war movies. And I feel like the action that sort of puts you into what makes you feel like a war movie is sort of sparsely spread throughout the entire thing. And there's elements where it's like an action movie, but it's not really an action movie. And, you know, there's comedy, but it's not really a comedy. And there's drama, but it's not really a drama. It's the traditional Spike Lee thing of it ain't all just one thing. It's a whole bunch of a lot of things. That being said, going into the acting performances, I have to start with Delroy Lindo, who was a classic, that guy who was in pretty much everything in like the early to mid 90s there, and still consistently worked beyond that, but I mean like was in a lot of like well-known movies during that period, and more recently has been on The Good Fight, which I watch, and I don't know if anyone else watches. I never hear anyone talking about The Good Fight, but he has been doing a phenomenal job on that as well. And honest to God, I walked away from this movie saying that Delroy should get nominated for this role. He is that good. And it's a role where he really goes for it. And he really, like, he's dialing it up to 11 on pretty much every single scene. And even being that big and that broad, it still doesn't lose, like, the deep below. Is sometimes if you are an actor who plays, like, a big, huge character, the parts of the acting talent which hold it all together can sort of get frayed and loose when you try and get bigger. Like, it just makes you look like you're performing on a stage, and it seems like it's out of place on a movie. Like, there's two different approaches to acting that sort of happen there, and when you get big like you would on a stage, sometimes it just doesn't affect. But this one, like, Delroy is hitting all these notes perfectly, 100 miles an hour straight into the wall. Like, he is not stopping for anybody. And it is a truly masterful job by him. And to give Delroy Lindo is like one of those types of guys who you wouldn't necessarily say, like, you know, people used to say this about Philip Seymour Hoffman all the time. Like, you know, like, oh, you got to give him a really good role, and you got to let him, like, you know, when you give him the piece and he just sort of ruminates in it, he creates these amazing things. The acting chops are not so different from Delroy in that, like, he puts on the same caliber of performance that Hoffman used to do. And he is doing it in this big, huge character, and it is... I if for nothing else, I feel like people should see it just for this performance alone. I would be kind of shocked, honestly, if it doesn't find a nomination, just because this year in particular with the Oscars is going to be so weird with so few movies sort of like making it out to theaters or making it onto Netflix this year. Like, it's going to be a lesser field probably than it usually is, and already I feel like Delroy's would have been goodly enough to make it into the top five of acting performances of last year. And last year was a really stacked year. Beyond that, though, everyone is doing work on this movie. Clark Peters and Isaiah Whitlock Jr., who I know best from The Wire, but have obviously been in a ton of things and a ton of Spike Lee movies throughout their entire careers, are both incredible in this. They both do the great job of being the... I know Knicks fan Spike Lee is going to hate for me to use this example, but like being the Scottie Pippen to Delroy's Jordan, they're dishing, they're making everything work. And when it's up to them to carry scenes, when it's without Delroy, they step up and they lead and put up just as good performances, and albeit less dynamic character points. There's also another subplot that involves Love Against Mine and Bombs, LAM, which is an organization that is going to Vietnam and trying to find landmines and deal with the consequences of a world that is still filled with these bombs. And I enjoyed their addition, but it also felt like at times this movie... while all the subplots and everything sort of works together nicely, at times it feels like it's getting a little bit out of control. Like by the end, it all comes together, but there's times throughout the course of the movie where I'm just like, why are these people around so much and everything like that? There's also a part of this movie that like it really spends its time trying to put you in the camaraderie of the guys who are in the battalion together. So I would say that it's a long movie. It's 2.5 hours. And the first little bit, the first, 30 to 45 minutes, is really living within the relationship between these guys who, while they haven't seen each other since the end of the Vietnam War, have had this incredible bond because they fought together and because they lost together. And it's wonderful to like spend time catching up with them and getting to that shorthand. But it also, you got to understand that this movie is just going to take a little bit longer to get there, but it's worth it in the end. I would say, honestly, if there's anything that is sort of a downside to me, is that in addition to a lot of storylines that they're trying to manage and like make sure they each get their time to play and stuff like that, it just feels like some of these things happen at a different pace than the rest of it. So we spend a lot of time getting used to the squad getting back together, the Bloods, the five, the originally five Bloods, now the four Bloods, because Chadwick Boseman, who plays Storm and Norman, died in battle. I feel like the critique that's coming out of this movie the most that I've heard has been that they didn't find younger actors to play the Vietnam era troops. So you have young Chadwick Boseman against 60-year-old Delroy Lindo. It just doesn't, I kept watching it thinking, there's a reason for this. At the end of it, I'm gonna find out there's a reason for this. And really, the reason is that there's not a point in really recasting younger versions. Because, I understand where Spike is coming from, though, because this is kind of annoying when you have an older version of a character and then you gotta create the younger version of the character. But they don't have as much screen time as when they're young. So you have to do shorthand things to sort of like clue in the audience, like, the older guy's wearing an eye patch, and then when they go back in time, the young guy's wearing an eye patch too, and you're just like, oh, that's the same guy. Like, it's harder to tell the story if you have to move things around like that and create new roles. And while I feel like it would have brought us into the story a little bit better, it wasn't necessary. And like at the end of it, like, I'm just like, whatever. I got over it. It's not that big of a deal. And I think really you lose out on the incredible work that, the modern aged characters bring to it. And it would feel a little bit wrong to try and like shoehorn somebody into being Delroy Lindo, but younger and like living up to the same levels of expectation or performance that he was given in present day. One last thing, the camera work, like every Spike Lee movie, is inspired and wonderful, and they do a great job. And just all around, the crew did a fantastic job bringing this movie to life. It's a way bigger budget than Spike usually works with, But they did a great job. Everyone involved, specifically, I mean, like people sort of want to talk about like the bigger, broader movements of Spike Lee, double dolly shots and everything like that. But the little things, the little choices that are made, there's one moment where, Paul is talking to Otis about the love he does or does not feel for his son. It's just a two shot of the two of them staring off and the camera right at them, sort of like this is happening right now. So it's just another guy right here. And rather than have it on the tripod, they have it steady, but they're also moving the camera ever so slightly. And when you do that, when the camera sort of like breathes a little bit, it just sort of makes you feel like you, as the audience, are sort of brought into this private moment. There's a lot of talk about, like, you know, if you have a very serious moment where somebody's talking about something that's really impacting them, and, you know, the camera's moving and it's in their face, it makes you feel like you're there with them, as opposed to if it was shot behind them, you know, like on sticks, on a tripod. Like, that means that, like, the audience is not necessarily supposed to be part of this moment. Like, it's, you know, but just little tiny, like, Spike is an all-timer. He knows what he's doing, and he knows how to get these moments out of camera work and out of performances that just sort of make the whole thing live in a different way. And it again, incredible job. I may not have the gold, but I do have a leaderboard. It's leaderboard time, everybody. Caught this movie on Netflix, blah, 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 blah. I really am going to push as many people as I can to go see this movie. And I think that it's not only perfectly timed for this moment that we all collectively find ourselves in, where we're really having a true examination of race relations like we haven't really ever had in this country. And I feel like for that, a new Spike Lee movie is just, you know, wonderful news. Like, this is just something else that allows us to examine ourselves in a deeper way. But beyond that, beyond the happenstance of where we happen to find ourselves in and as America and as the world, this is just a really good Spike Lee movie. It's just like much like I enjoyed Black Klansman incredibly when it came out a couple years ago in the history of these reviews. I feel like Spike is finding a new stride and like being able to really create these really interesting flicks that, much like his earlier stuff, still examine race and black culture and black excellence, but it does so much more than that. When directors are usually slowing down and having a harder time trying to tell new and original tales, Spike Lee here just always bringing it. If I had to give the movie a rating, I will give this one an 8.6. Just a phenomenal job all the way around. At this point, though, I'd like to sort of break away from the leaderboard and the rest of the thing and get into spoilers. So if you have not seen The Five Bloods and you don't want it spoiled for you, thank you so much for watching. Come back after you've seen the movie. Maybe you get some thoughts then. I'd love to have you back, but I don't want to ruin it for people who haven't seen it. So this is your chance right now to bail out for spoilers. So here's the thing. I don't think it's fair to necessarily inspect every single aspect of a Spike Lee film and sort of make decisions on what these things mean, because so often with Spike Lee movies, they mean so many different things. It's not just about making one point, it's about making 5 points at the same time. So to talk about any one specific thing sort of feels like, you know, the forest through the trees and everything like that. But the examination specifically of Delroy Lindo and his PTSD and how it makes him act and how he lashes out at people and he gets angry and the feelings of love that he doesn't have for his son and, you know, with the end specifically with the letter that sort of talks about how, you know, the war and the things that he's gone through, have ruined him for his son. He's loved him, but he's never really been able to ever escape what happened to him in the jungle. It's just sort of like all part of this like deep thing. Like it builds throughout the movie. When you finally get there, and you know, like a traditional Spike Lee movie, you get fucking five endings. So, you know, you also see where the money for the other members goes, and you get to see, you know, Otis having the moment with his daughter, and now that she knows that he's the father and she's his daughter and everything like that, and they can actually embrace and have that moment of love. And, you know, like specifically fortuitous timing for the release of this movie, the money going to Black Lives Matter from Eddie's portion, because talking about Eddie real quick, I throughout the course of this movie, I was worried about landmines. As soon as fucking Lamb shows up, I'm just like, there's going to be some landmine shit going on in this movie. And I was not disappointed. I thought that we were going to get it a little bit earlier. There was sort of like this cock tease moment where early on, I thought that we were going to get, somebody stepping on a mine while they were searching for the gold, but that didn't happen. It was later when Eddie hit it. And then furthering when David steps on the mine, but it doesn't detonate. And they have to pull him off with the rope. That it's high action, high pressure Spike Lee. Like, I'm not used to having him. Usually there's not so much action and shootouts and stuff like that that's going on in this movie. And just choices throughout the whole thing. So, like, when Isaiah Whitlock jumps on the mine at the end of the movie, it happens so fast, and it happens so fast, much like what happened in real life. You don't have time, like, you know, in other movies, you take the second to show the guy, like, you know, slow motion, like, no, like, jumping on the thing and stuff like that, but Spike just gets to it. The grenade goes out. It's like, grenade, jumps on it, boom, dead, immediate. But, like, the fact that it all came together like that makes the moment all the more heroic and shows the brotherhood that there is between these guys. And I think that, there's a thousand little things. I could make this video 100 hours long talking about this movie. But I mean, like, you know, the stuff with Hanoi Hannah doing the propaganda that's meant to get to the soldiers and stuff like that. Like, it's really just all masterful stuff. The fact that her voice is spoken with so much like love and care, yet her face is so void of any kind of reaction. It's sort of being able to live on her as opposed to the soldiers getting her message, like, sort of adds so much more layers to the whole thing as well. And then the whole reason why I wanted to sort of have this spoiler part separate, Delroy, when he breaks off from the rest, they have their little Sierra Madre moment with the "we don't need no stinking badges," and Delroy breaks off, and the rest of them go to the temple, and he's just sort of off in the woods. People talking directly to camera in a Spike Lee movie, sort of breaking the fourth wall like I'm doing right now, just speaking directly to the audience, is not something new or original for Spike, but the monologue, the living in the moment, and the fact that once we get the separation and in the stasis between, we get the a cappella version of Marvin Gaye, and with no music, with just the vocals, it just stings. Like, you're just, I was on the edge of my seat. I was so nervous and uncomfortable because I was like, what the hell is about to happen? And I thought it was, you know, classic Spike head fake. He does so much to make you think that something's about to happen, and then when it doesn't, you sort of take a breath, and then all of a sudden, right there, when you get comfortable again, is Delroy with his PTSD madness looking directly into camera, and, you know, "you made me malignant," and everything that goes along with it. It was just masterstroke, and Delroy fucking killing it. And, you know, when the Vietnamese eventually catch up with him and he's digging his own grave, and you realize that he was the one responsible for Storm and Norman's death, and the ghosts of Storm and Norman that he always says is coming to visit him and stuff like that. We actually get a moment where things transition from sort of darkness and, you know, the jungle and the beaded sweat on Delroy Lindo as we move over casually, and the lights start shining through, and we get the lens flare, and they're just sitting on the water, just standing on the water, looking out at the river, is Chadwick Boseman, who, you know, in this role is doing great work as well, sort of being the Malcolm and the Barton for them. Honest to God, I might just from time to time just put on Delroy going crazy out in the jungle, because it's really incredible stuff, and I've well worth the Netflix subscription to see it. Anyway, that's it for me. If you want more, you can go to my social media everywhere, Corey Baker Film on Facebook and at Legends Beat 5, literally everywhere else. This review is available as a podcast as well, so if you want to listen to it on the go, check it out, your podcatcher of choice, at anchor.fm/Corey Baker Film. And beyond that, I got a ton of other great reviews. You might want to go check them out. See if there's anything that you really want to catch and see my thoughts on. I appreciate it. Subscribe, share, tell people about it. All those great things. I appreciate every single one of you who've stuck out this long in the video. And I can't wait to see you next time. Have a great day, everyone.